The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Monday. Hope you had a nice weekend. A lot of things happening around the world. It gets crazier all the time. I thought it was time, speaking of time, to take a look at Europe. And we've asked our friend and colleague, Dr. Leonard Colwell, to come on with us this first hour tonight. Leonard, of course, an American citizen, German-born, goes to Germany a lot. And there is a lot of tragedy always in the news in Germany. I guess the biggest news lately, of course, is that Angela Merkel, chancellor since 2005, believe it or not, is stepping down. She does have a CDU, that's their party leader, who is going to step into her shoes or whatever else she is doing. And we'll find out more about that right now with Leonard. Hello, my friend. How are you doing? How are you feeling, by the way? Are you fully recovered now? Pretty close?
Yeah, pretty close. You know, there's no other choice. You just have to suck it up and get back up, and then we kept on going. Otherwise, nobody does our job, Jeff. We have to do it ourselves.
They don't. And if you don't know, there was an effort made to remove Leonard from planet Earth and this dimension, and he somehow survived it. And only through the sheer force of will, in my opinion, was he able to do that. It was a very bad toxin, and he was very sick for a long time. And it would have been an irreplaceable loss, period. So I'm glad to hear you say that, Leonard.
Thank you, Jeff. I have a friend from MI6 who gave me the antidote of the poison. I got poisoned by the strongest contact neuropoison toxin there is from the sea anemone. And basically, I looked like something out of a comic book where a human being turned into something else, and nobody would even recognize me anymore. And it was really, really bad. This time it was really, really close.
Do you look okay now, Leonard? Did you get by all that physical disfigurement?
Yeah, I got rid of it, but literally just due to a good friend who risked his career and future by giving me the antidote. And so it was just literally in time. It took nearly 19 months.
I know. I was extremely concerned, to put it mildly. I'd talked to you several times, and I honestly didn't think you were going to make it. But bless this person, whoever he is, and that counts. Big points. Very good.
Friends count, Jeff, and this is what you see in our relationship. We are friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And if you have nobody, and you know, that's really a big problem. But if you have friends, like you, I know I'm never alone, I'm never by myself. There's always somebody having my back. you having my back. And this is helps more than people would ever believe.
It's all true, and then some. Okay, a story in The Guardian, about 10 hours old now. Could Angela Merkel's successor be Europe's savior? And I just laughed like hell when I read that. Written by a Jewish reporter, of course. And there's going to be no savior in Merkel's party. Let's just get that on the table for beginners. Who is this Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer? Who is she?
Basically, she is it's just a Merkel substitute.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, you really need to understand, it's not like Angela Merkel is not stepping down as a chancellor of Germany. She just stepped down
as the party head. Yeah.
Yeah. As the head of the CDU, ironically, it's called the Christian Democratic
Isn't
Union.
That funny? Yeah, that's really hilarious. What a joke. So
yeah.
how much longer will she actually be in the chancellor position, do you think?
Basically, officially, of course, 3.5 years, but everybody thinks she's not going to make it through the middle of next year.
Uh-huh.
Because Germany, for the first time, is started to rebel. The Germans are still too well-fed and still too lazy and still too brainwashed to move, because everything, you know, when I grew up in Germany, everything you heard in school was, you are German, your fathers and grandfathers are Nazis, you are basically the relatives of Hitler, and you are bad. And this is how I grew up.
This was in the school system. This is what they told you. This is the government schools in Germany. This is how you were programmed as a child. What a terrible burden to put on any generation, and you had the worst of it.
Yeah, and the main thing literally is there was no hope. The other thing was there was no explanation or history lesson. There was just Hitler was bad, every German was a Nazi, and that Germany is a country of Nazis or former Nazis, and as Churchill declared all Germans war criminals and not prisoners of war, still till today, Germans are by law war criminals, and therefore they have no rights.
It's amazing. I'm not sure how bad the Treaty of Versailles was, except to read about it historically, and I've never seen anything like it, and I understand fully why Germany rose like it did. No nation of brilliant people can be pushed down and crushed like Germany was after World War I. And we had a chance. General George Patton, our greatest general, after the war ended, realized, in fact, he realized before the war ended, that we were fighting the wrong enemy. We had been sold a bill of goods. We had been deceived and duped. And he used to write to his wife. And if you don't believe me, look for Patton's letters to his wife. Just do a search. Understand, he kept 3 German SS divisions together and fully armed when hostilities ceased, because he wanted to go, with Eisenhower's blessing and the President Truman's blessing, against the Soviet hordes and drive them all the way back past Moscow. He knew who the enemy of the world was. He understood Bolshevism, Zionism. He understood international banking. Patton was murdered, and that's the truth. Very few Americans knew it then. Not that many know it now, but he was a great man. He understood the truth, and it's very difficult to talk to people because, as you know, Leonard, Americans have been brainwashed just like you were as a child, although not as severely. We're just told that all Germans were evil, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, and the thing really is that nobody really knows the fact that the Holocaust happened on Germans after World War II ended. There were over 2.5 million Germans, German women and children, raped to death by the Russians, raped and killed, or they killed themselves after being raped by 20, 30 Russians in a row. Over 2 million. Rhein-Wiesen-Lager, where the Russians let Germans just starve to death, another million two died there. So there's at least 5 to 7 million Germans were killed after World War II ended, and 800,000 children and women were killed in Dresden with bombs after World War II was over.
It's 800,000 now. Wow. Wow, yeah. I didn't know that. I've seen 500, which is horrific enough. It's a period of history that is so perverted and corrupted by the winners that I don't know if it'll ever be straightened out. At least, thank God, there are people who do understand the truth and listen to us when we try to suggest to them that they've been lied to. Now, let me ask you a question. You raised an issue that is almost unspeakably, it's so evil, I don't even like to talk about it. But when we see these sub-Saharan black Africans, so-called refugees, that have been intentionally flooded into Germany and Europe, raping women, German women, Swedish women, British women, little girls and little boys as well. That's all hushed up in the media now. The number of rapes is enormous. But let me ask you this. When a woman, and we're men, but when a woman is raped, maybe multiple times by multiple of these subhuman animals, what kind of a life could they ever have? In my view, they're basically being murdered to a very large degree. They're dead in their soul. How can they ever come back? Are there efforts to help these people in Germany now who have been raped?
The effort to help raped women and girls in Germany is to tell them if they don't shut up, they go to jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the treatment they are getting right now. First of all, I'm not just a doctor of naturopathic medicine. I'm also have a PhD in psychology.
And, yes.
So I can tell you, first of all, no one comes back from a rape to begin with. It's just a general truth. People just learn to live with it. But if you get raped in this, it's not like Americans very often think, oh, yeah, somebody gets drunk and some guy has sex with her and they call it date rape or whatever. No, that's not the form of rape. They beat their teeth out. They kick their ribs in. They break their ribs. They dislocate their arms or shoulders. And then they rape them, sodomize them, and later they cut them with knives, slice them open. Just yesterday, an invader cut both the mouth of a woman, like in the movie The Joker, you know, both sides, that she looks like she would smile all the time.
Yeah.
And just because she didn't give him a cigarette. Another one was just stabbed because she didn't want to have this guy grabbing underneath her skirt. And when you understand, we have 1.2 million rapes, knifings and assaults and murders in 19 months in Germany alone.
Oh, my God.
And this is something, first of all, to answer your question, there's no way for a woman to come back from that. Second of all, these women are not just raped the way most people think. They have been raped, pinned down, and somebody has sex with them. No, no. They are beaten. They are strangled. They are cut with knives. They are tortured, often for hours. With 30 guys, there was this girl, 30 invasionists, whatever the English word would be, invaders raped her for 6 hours and raped her to death, like they raped a pony to death with six invaders, a pony, you know, little horse. And
wait a minute. They raped a pony to death. This is not under any circumstances human behavior. It's not even subhuman. It's sub animal. These are not human beings. They really don't belong on this planet. That's my opinion. They do not belong on this planet.
They don't, Jeff. And the fact is, like the Chinese are right. They call it a mental disease. They call Islamism a mental infectious disease. And they have 1 million. Nobody talks about it. They have 1 million in camps. Where they basically teach them how to behave like a human and get rid of the illness of Islam or Islamism. And nobody talks about it. Over 1 million.
No, you know, never heard about it. That must be in Western China, I understand, or near the Indian border. No, near Pakistan it would be. Anyway, I understand there's an area in China that has a lot of Muslims. It's to the west.
Yeah, they lock them all up. It's now.
So they're re-educating them. Interesting.
Yep.
Trying to make them human.
Yeah, it's a re-education camp. Over 1 million. And I can send you a couple of articles. But the thing really is, it happens that people wake more and more up. It's like Bulgaria or Poland are saying, under no circumstances, Greece, after the EU ruined Greece, are now done too with the migrants. And I mean, calling them migrants, I call them invaders.
No, savages. They're not invaders. Yeah. They're not migrants. There's nothing to do with being a migrant, these people. They're not refugees. This is a joke. They're invading, exactly, invading savages. Hungary, Orban, they know. They figured it out in time and somehow got the wall. It's not a physical wall, but they built the wall and they've kept them out. They've done a good job. A lot of Germans, I understand, have actually moved to Poland and many to Hungary.
Yeah, to Hungary. Hungary is at the moment, the Hungary is just a problem with the mafia, but a lot of Germans moved to Hungary. They had very often like vacation homes there because the houses are really, really cheap there. And now they moved permanently, and Poland anyway. The situation with Poland is a different one because the Polish people beat 55,000 German soldiers to death after World War II was over on the way home after the war. And so the Polish and the German relationship is not that rosy. But but Hungary is really, and they even support the Germans coming there. It is just really, they have a huge, huge mafia problem there in a way you wouldn't even believe. But it is just really, what really happens worldwide is what happens in France, Jeff.
Yeah.
If you really look at what's going on there, people are fed up with all of this. And it is only a matter of time until Macron is gone. Macron and Merkel needs to go, and they need to go permanently. And they are treasonous. They sold their countries out. They are guilty of so many crimes. I mean, there were 40,000 criminal complaints made against Merkel, and of course, they all been put down by her justice minister. And she now made a law that she cannot, that it is not a crime to sell out your own country, to commit treason.
I see. Very clever. Just unbelievable. I do see these stories coming out of Sweden, and you wonder what happened to the Swedish mind. What happened to Sweden? Overtaken by communists. Okay, I get that. And yet these people are acting beyond suicidal. And there are many Germans who used to be so much to the left, it was embarrassing. I don't know that there are that many left anymore now. They've been raped into submission as a culture. But what is wrong with the Swedes and Norwegians? They don't understand how to protect themselves anymore. Where does that? That's a basic human reflex. Where did it go?
It's trained away. We talked about it years ago, Jeff, when I talked about trained or learned helplessness. And this is what happens whenever you try to do the right thing, like a woman gets raped, she goes to the police and the police rapes her again or tells her to shut up or she goes to jail for assault because she fought back.
Leonard is not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a joke. This is exactly what happens over there. They tell the woman it's your fault, and if you cause trouble, you're going to go to jail. They do this in Germany. They probably do it in England. I'm not there, but the rapes in England, they had over 1 million in 1 year there. These are not human beings. Understand, Europe has been invaded. Is there a solution to it, Leonard, in any way that you can see, a real solution?
There is only a hypothetical solution that within the next 6 months, Germany gets up, just votes everybody out and puts all the invaders back or savages back on boats and ships them.
They've got to go home. They have to go home. They can't stay. No. And the same.
Not one single one.
No. And the same thing in France. Le Pen has to be put in. She's got to do the same thing. They've got to reverse this. It's got to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, in Germany there's a party called AfD, and they are basically like a Germany First party,
yeah,
and German for Germans, and of course they want to make them illegal. They are trying to make laws to make them illegal. So over 25% of Germans voted for them the first go-around.
AfD has got 25%. Good.
Yes. Good. And, of course, now they're proving all the voter fraud. And, they even admit in Germany they didn't count the votes. They just guessed.
Oh, they estimated. So AfD could have been 50, 60%.
Yes. And well, this is where now the problem really is. But you have to understand how brainwashed everybody is, and that's why it gets there. Everybody is brainwashed in a way that the Germans are really easy to brainwash. Oh, you have a Nazi past. You're responsible for 60 million people dying. You killed 6 million Jews. There were never 6 million Jews in Germany, and all these kind of things. So the people need to wake up, and I say it every time when we talk about this issue. Look up Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. It's a six-hour documentary with no comments on it. It's just a pure factual documentary, and it's for free on the Internet. Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. It's free, 6 hours. And that explains it all. And when you understand that, I have American friends that started crying and apologizing after they saw that documentary.
I believe it.
They threatened me with $1.5 million because I promoted it. And so I made sure it's going to be now available also in German subtitles, which it is now. So let's
good
see
for
what's
you.
Going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that no one can claim to be an historian of any stature unless they've seen that documentary. It's not possible. You can't do it. You're living a lie. The
because
truth... go ahead.
Because you need to understand, my mom sees so-called camps or buildings where people supposedly were killed, where Jews were murdered by gas. And my mom says, oh, wait, I know this building. We were in there when we came as refugees from Ostpreußen, from East Germany, when the Russians came. We get in there to get deloused. That was a center to getting rid of the lice, because we had... From the refuge, we were full with lice, and that's where they cut our hair off, shaved our hair off, took our clothes, disinfected it, and basically deloused the humans. And
people don't know, Leonard, and let me jump in here. The Zyklon B was a delousing fumigant. That's what it was. And I talked to a young man during the war. He was 12, 13, 14, I think. He ended up with typhus and was hospitalized. And they brought into the hospital ward, there must have been 50 people in this ward, two metal tanks. And they turned them on and left. And they filled the ward with gas.
Mm-hmm.
This hospital ward. And I said, well,
disinfected
what?
It.
That's right. I said, what was it? And he said, well, we saw it was Zyklon B on the tanks. They killed the lice. That's all they were trying to do with this stuff. And he said it saved his life, and it saved the lives of many. They had so many lice.
My mom said, and they didn't even care. You could hit them with a hammer. They didn't die. That's, you know.
Correct. I've read it.
And it's really, really wild. And my mom said she had these stills crying today. She's 83 years old today. She's crying still that she lost her hair. She said she had hair very, very long to her butt and was too proud of it. And they cut it off. And she's still more hurt by this than anything else.
Right, right.
And so it's just really, Jeff, what really is a real problem here is that people just swallow all the lies that are absurd. And there has been taken samples off the walls, and there was never in any way, shape, or form in these so-called gas chambers any form of toxic gas.
That's a fact. We have to take a break. I'll come back and add a little bit to what Leonard is saying and ask him to continue. There was a gentleman here in the U.S. who went over there. He is America's foremost, or was, till his career was destroyed for his research, America's foremost expert on gas chambers. All the prisons would hire him to build, design, consult on gas chambers. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Hold on. Okay, and welcome back. Talking with Dr. Leonard Coldwell, and I hope you'll visit his site. He's an extraordinary man. And I hope also that you will keep your mind open. If those of you who are new to this program don't know, you've been conned. You've been lied to. And I just urge you to do a little bit of reading and some honest research. Look at the documentary, Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. Read the book, Hellstorm. If that doesn't shatter you, nothing will. During the war, we are told certain things. They didn't happen. We know now, through the work of a young Jewish American named David Cole, who went over to Poland and interviewed the director of the Polish National Auschwitz Museum. 17 years, I think, on the job. What's his name? Franciszek Pieper, is it?
I really don't know, Jeff.
Well, I think his name was, it's Piper or Pieper, at any rate. He admitted on videotape, I've seen the videotape, that the actual Auschwitz gas chamber was never a gas chamber. It was reconstructed and configured to be one after the war ended on orders of Stalin to keep the world hating the Germans. It was a trick, and he admitted it on videotape. The videotape's on, I think you can still find it online. David Cole did the interview. Now, fast forward. An American gas chamber expert named Fred Leuchter, L-E-U-C-H-T-E-R, I may not be pronouncing it quite right, but it's Leuchter to me, went over and took the tour at Auschwitz, for example. And during the tour, he took scrapings of the walls and the floors surreptitiously with the crowd that was in there and brought it back here and analyzed it chemically with the latest science. No residue whatsoever of any type of fumigant, poison, herbicide, pesticide, nothing, zero. And that locked up perfectly with David Cole's revelations that he got from the former director of the Auschwitz Museum that building was not a gas chamber. Oh, it was made to look like one, but it wasn't. And if you study and do honest reading and research about Auschwitz and the war, it was a labor camp. The labor was desperately needed by the Germans. And even in his book, Elie Wiesel, called Night, I believe, is it Night? Anyway, Elie Wiesel wrote a book, this supposed survivor. He may never have been in Auschwitz, we don't know. But he complained in his book of being made to take three showers a day by the Germans. He was a laborer, he was a worker. To do what? To kill him? No, to keep him healthy. They needed these people. All right, so you can find Fred Leuchter. Look up the Leuchter report if you can find that online. It may have been scrubbed by now, but it's an honest to God scientific analysis of the residual from the walls of the supposed gas chamber at Auschwitz. These are scientific facts. Go ahead, Leonard.
Jeff, it's even worse. If you look into the Nuremberg trials, concentration camp Birkenau was built to collect Jewish workers that were supposed to work for free to build Auschwitz. And Auschwitz was never really a concentration camp in that meaning. Auschwitz was built as the largest pharmaceutical production plant in the world that built pharmaceutical drugs for Bayer, BASF, Hoechst, and indirectly
Bayer.
IBM.
Bayer. Yeah.
And so that's in the basically the people died. They didn't die because they got killed by any kind of gas. They died because they let them work with the toxic chemicals for Bayer and Hoechst and BASF without any kind of mask or gloves or protective clothes. That's why they all died between 3 and 6 months.
And then we have typhus, then we have starvation issues. By 1944, 45, things were very bad. The ultimate question about Auschwitz, and I believe it was Auschwitz or was it Birkenau, one or the other or both of them, when the Soviets were closing in, the German guards advised all of the inmates, you're free to go. You can go west with us and we will try to protect you, or you can stay here and surrender to the Soviets. And as I read history, virtually all of them that could still walk went with the German, their former German captors west.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing is the pictures you see from all these starving poor people in the concentration camps, but Germans and not Jewish people. Jewish people are all circumcised. If you look at the pictures of all the dead people in these mass graves and down-starved to a skeleton human beings in these camps, they were all Germans. Because
Understood.
That's what happened.
I understand.
And I know for a fact, I had a friend, Mr. Ippolito, who was at the Nuremberg trials, and he knew that officers, German officers, were basically masoned into the cells. You know, they closed the cell doors with bricks and let them starve to death in their own cells during the Nuremberg trials. And basically, you need to understand that there was an effort that Churchill was heading to get rid of all Germans. He actually wanted to have every German being castrated so that there will not the German genetic pool will be dead.
He admitted it in his biography. He admitted it. He said the war had nothing to do with National Socialism whatsoever or Adolf Hitler. It had to do with eliminating Germany and its people forever. He admitted it in his book.
The economic power.
That's
because
right.
Because that was the only reason, because the economic power from Germany, due to their structure and due to their intelligence and sticking with their word, performing first-class labor all the time, that basically created the economic miracle. And so England, who already was at the end and bankrupt, basically tried to get rid of the competition, Germany, because Germany offset the entire economic world in the Western world. And this was a real problem. They just wanted to get rid of the economic enemy. That's all it was.
Both wars.
Yeah, I mean, in 1913, they came together, the 13 Jewish bankers, and then look up also the Treaty of Jekyll Island by creating basically the general idea of getting rid of the German gene pool, and then they financed and started the First World War, which never ended, so there was no Second World War. World War II was just part two of the first, because there was never an end to World War One. So World War II was just ongoing.
You started to mention Rudolf Hess.
Rudolf Hess came to England with all the documents, giving back Poland and a peace offering and saying, we do everything you guys want, and we go completely back out of every country we ever invaded. And so just stop this. This war is absurd, and there's no reason for it. And because of that, they never, ever let him out. So basically, he was locked up for the rest of his life. But because he was the one that could prove, he went to England to start the peace process and basically
Germany saying.
That's
right.
And if you think about it, that when the wall came down between East and West Germany, so they basically had to set him free so he could talk to the media or to law enforcement. So what they did is they strangled him and they said he basically hung himself, which is absurd. After all these decades of being in solitary confinement, he had other choices to kill himself, and so just because he knew they couldn't really keep him there, after the wall comes down, after there's a unification of Germany, they killed him so that he could never talk about it. And it was the only reason why this poor guy was his entire life in solitary confinement.
He was, as you can say, the British sent a team over and they strangled him, broke his neck.
Yeah.
And this is all, for those of you new to this, believe it. I've been studying this for 40 years or more. It's all the truth, and you've got to dig for it. Who owns the media? Who controls the media? The international globalist banking elite. They brainwash, they socially engineer, they contrive and control everything you see and hear. Hollywood makes motion pictures about this. The truth is so much different than what we're commonly told. I would just leave you with that and ask you and invite you, read the book Hellstorm, see the documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told. understand that the truth is the opposite, essentially, of what you're being told. Now, let me go back.
It's very easy, Jeff, because the CIA founded the three government TV stations and financed it, still controls it today, and financed the Bild-Zeitung, which is the largest newspaper in Germany, Axel Springer Publishing House, and it's financed and still controlled today by the CIA.
Absolutely correct. All right, let me go back to the current situation in Germany. Still a press blackout on the horrific crimes. We're not seeing many stories make it over here. You have a good conduit. If you get any you want me to post it or in English, send them as you have. We don't see much of anything anymore. It's, as most people would think, well, the situation is stabilized there now. It's calm. No, not in the least. When I tell people, when you look at, for example, this United Nations so-called refugee resettlement program, which Donald Trump and our government aids and abets and fully approves of, they bring in hundreds of thousands of Middle Easterners and sub-Saharan black Africans who claim to be Muslim and Islamic refugees. They're not. Why do we have 150,000 or more, maybe 200,000, nobody knows, Somalians in Minneapolis because of this program? Do you not understand, and I say this rhetorically, if Americans didn't have their Second Amendment and weren't armed with over 3 million, 30 million, well, I don't know how, 300 million weapons in this country, I think there's one for every person, they would be doing the same thing here as is happening in Germany, Britain, Sweden, France, all of Europe. The same thing. Those people would be running amok, killing, raping, robbing. They're not doing it now because Americans are armed. That's the only thing keeping us from suffering a fate like Germany did.
That's the only reason why they tried through the EU treaty, the small arms treaty, to disarm Americans. This is the only reason why the Democrats, the Soros-owned and controlled Democrats, or Vatican-owned Democrats and the Catholic Church is owned by the Zionistic Jews, as everybody knows by now, I hope. But it is just literally the Second Amendment is absolutely the only thing that stands between us and Sweden or France, and the situation in Sweden and France. And you have to understand, in Switzerland, every household has to have a gun and 500 rounds of ammo by law. There are no home invasions, there are no home intrusions, nothing. And because everybody has a gun there, by law. And the thing really is that we are looking at all these approaches, all these hoaxes with all these school shootings, and whatever these shootings are, it's all the same hearing voices, being under psychotropic drugs, and all these kind of, all the same people, all the same story, and all, in my opinion, controlled by the CIA and FBI, and this is always the same, it's always the same model. But the major thing is, Jeff, that in Germany now, where nobody, people, if you are speaking German, or you can just see on the pictures what's going on, go to my website, Dr. D.R. Coldwell, my last name was an O, not was an A, drcoldwellreport.com. I'm the only site in all of Europe that is still posting the truth about the invaders. We've been threatened with jail, we've been threatened with millions of dollars in fine, and worse things. And it's there, and it will not go away. It's drcoldwellreport.com. And you will see it's all on there. Everything Jeff and I are talking about all these years, it's all on there. And they will not shut us up. And it's just really important that people understand the second we lose our Second Amendment, first of all, people, you need to wake up. You have the right of life and being protected from bodily harm. So you don't need a Second Amendment. You have the right to arm yourself, carry your gun.
It's a God-given right.
Exactly. It's your birthright.
Yep.
And you don't need a constitution that gives you that right. The constitution is just confirming that nobody is allowed to mess with these rights. That's all the Bill of Rights is. The confirmation, nobody can mess with your religious beliefs, nobody can mess with your freedom of carrying and using guns and so on. And people just need to wake up to the facts. We don't need them. Most of all, state laws supersede the federal government, federal laws 10,000 times. The federal government has been basically built by the states to just coordinate efforts and tasks, not to run us in a tyrannical way. I see this idiot Judge Napolitano creeping around, the biggest gatekeeper and stupidest idiot I have ever seen personally, and he is saying BS like this. Every time it comes down to it, he is on the side of the enemy, and he is saying things like, oh, the federal law is superseding state law. No, it's not. And the Supreme Court is a corporate court. It has nothing to do with America. It's not the American, the highest American court is in Pennsylvania. Read the Constitution. And the Supreme Court is nothing else than a corporate court. They have nothing to say about you if you don't work for the federal government or live in Washington, D.C. End of story. People need to wake up to reality, need to wake up to the fact that they have rights. The government cannot take them, and the government doesn't give them to you. You're just born with these rights. And basically, you need to start holding judges responsible, prosecutors liable, police chiefs that get behind all the crockery and protect it, and judges that make all these absurd laws against America and American interests. You have to have hold them responsible. Every judge that does something unlawfully that he is not allowed to do in his job description is personally, as a person, liable. So sue the dude. Sue the police guy, not the police. Sue the person behind it that does the crooked stuff. And this is what people need to wake up to. Stop believing they control you. No, they only control your mind so that you believe they have power and control you. They don't. Stand up. And then you can easily... people don't even know they have a right of a constitutional court with 25 jurors, with a constitutional judge. But the first thing is that every lawyer gives away your right of a constitutional trial. So never allow that happen to begin with. And nothing will ever happen, because under constitutional law, there's only two things, only facts count and that you harmed somebody. That's the end of it. So you don't need the 1.8 million stupid corporate laws that are in the books for the Supreme Court or whatsoever. Then it is absolute unlawful what's going on here, and people need to wake up to that. You can form your own grand jury. You can indict Obama and Hillary tomorrow. And just make sure you understand the subpoena is an offer to contract. The subpoena is nothing. That's why they argue with Rosenstein and Comey. Oh, are you going to come? How are you going to come? No, they don't need to come, because the subpoena doesn't mean anything. It's an offer to contract. No contract, offer to contract, denied, back to sender. Go and F yourself. That's the end of it. And people just need to wake up to the facts. They have the rights. All rights belong to the people. All power comes from and through the people, from the government. We are the ones with the power, not Pelosi or whoever.
Oh, God. Oh. 1.6 million laws. Every law that's passed, by the way, takes away more freedom. Every one. Yep. That's an axiom. More restrictive, more freedom gone. Every single law. Think about it.
Look, have you ever seen idiots in California?
Oh, no. They're gone. California's gone. Gone. You know, we can go back to the Constitution if we want. It's important to recognize that document. It did have some wondrous things in it. And it did talk about certain inalienable human rights, that all men and women are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Get it? Real simple. It's right there. That says it all. Life, liberty, freedom, and happiness. The pursuit thereof. All right? That's what's guaranteed by our founding fathers. We don't need that, but they did do a great job in laying it out, so it's at least readable. We have a system now, Leonard, that is so corrupt, it's so criminal, that I don't see any way back from it. Donald Trump is a poodle on a leash, or a poodle, maybe he's a pit bull on a leash, I don't know, but he's on a leash. Now, the number of changes in his administration are extraordinary. 62% turnover rate in 2 years total, that's what I'm reading. We have now news that General Joe Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the number one guy in the Pentagon, is out. And he's being replaced by somebody named, I think it's Mattingly or something, Millen, anyway, it's got an M. Now, you got Mattis in there, Secretary of Defense, and both Mattis and Dunford clearly, in public, refused to follow orders from their commander-in-chief. Three times that I counted. Now, that's what we know. That's what we see. Donald Trump can't do anything unless he is allowed to do it or told to do it. Just understand that. That explains, for most of you, why he has had to, as they say, walk back so many promises. He breaks them. The man can't keep his word. Even Tucker Carlson said Donald Trump is not fit, not capable to be president. He's broken his promises. He's not capable of being president. That was a big loss. That was a major issue. I'm thinking that, and I don't know that this is going to happen, but Pence has been very quiet lately. I think they're going to hit Trump with something big here after the first of the year. I think they got it from Flynn. They've gathered it perhaps from Cohen. I think they're going to indict him. He may be gone. He may be gone fairly soon.
I mean, I'm sure he's pardoned a lot of people and also himself and all of his family members.
He would, yes. Oh, yes.
I'm absolutely sure about that. So, but the thing just really is, as long as we don't get somebody in that starts mass arrests and starts getting all these people into the existing FEMA camps that are a part of the deep state and literally a part of this treasonous takeover of government. It doesn't really matter if Trump is in there or somebody else.
No.
They want to take it over, and basically they would have, if Hillary would have won, that it would have been the end of America, at least through Trump. A lot of things came out that we would never had seen, that never would have seen the light of day, like everything in the FBI and CIA. And I'm personally thinking, which I have heard from a couple of people from MI6, there's going to be mass arrests of really high officials in the U.S. government. And I've just heard this, Jeff. I don't want to say I know this. And it's just really, I'm just hoping that a lot of things that... And the way I've been told, they said they're going to run it through the pedophile issue. They're going to arrest them all being a part of the pedophile ring and the satanic cult and human sacrifice and run it through all of this. And that's how they start to arrest all of them.
We will see soon enough. We should also mention something about the savages, the invaders. That I've made this point before, I'll make it again. Cannibalism is alive and well in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And they bring it with
Germany
them.
Too.
Okay. Oh, you're getting reports?
Yeah, I'm getting reports.
Oh my God. All right. Well, and there's one thing that you Donald Trump, for a year and a half on the campaign trail, he said essentially the right things. He did help populism arise. He did underscore nationalism and how important it is. Those are great gifts to the American people. What they do with those gifts remains to be seen. Leonard, thank you. It's wonderful to have you on again. Be safe, be well. Merry Christmas to you, and we'll talk again anytime you're ready. We'll be right back with more.